Durbin Forestry Commission, September 17th, 2025, at 6 o'clock. We are beginning on time. Thank you for all being here on time. First we need to do the roll call. And by the way, Roger and Jane are not going to be here tonight. I'll speak about Jane shortly. Can you do the minutes for us tonight?
Yeah, that's fine. Jacob Kaiser, City Forester, here.
Linda Freed.
Dana Ortsmith.
Lisa Barber, City Council Liaison.
Kathy Freese.
Tim Schroeder.
Donna Barhard.
Okay. First I just want to take a look at the agenda. It's a busy one. We're going to fly through some of these things, and others we're going to spend time discussing. So, just to give you that update. Do we need to add anything to what you already see? I also should say that the spreadsheet I put together for topics we're going to discuss at this meeting are included in here. So, remember, I don't know if you remember that, but the Arbor Day and the fall article, et cetera. So. Okay, I need someone to make a motion to approve that.
I make a motion to approve that.
Thank you, Linda. Second.
Second.
Donna, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, agenda approved. Let's take a look at the minutes from Wednesday, July 9th.
My only correction is that my name was spelled E-O-N-N-A, and it's D-A-N-A.
Oh, spelled first name wrong this time.
It's not a big deal, but just so you know. Used to it.
I had a clarification question on agenda item F. The city fronted the cost of cleanup last FEMA for reimbursement, 75%, and the state of Missouri for 10%. So that means the city is responsible for the remaining 15%?
I'm not sure. Would you know?
They are. We already approved it. It's already been approved.
So it pends approval, which you've done, but it has to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
So the cost has to be approved by the city council for every incident.
Okay. If it's over a certain amount, then I can't remember the amount off the top of my head.
$25,000.
Yeah, I think it's $25,000 too. I think you're right. I was about to say the wrong thing, so I think you're correct.
Thank you.
But I think that case he brought it to us anyway, just so we were aware. I think it was under though.
Are there good chances of getting that FEMA money?
We already got it.
Oh, you already got it.
Didn't mess around.
Or we're about to get it. I mean, something. We're getting reimbursed. We're not worried about that. We've put the application in.
That's great. How much is it?
I have to go look it up.
Okay.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Lots and lots of money.
Jacob, do you imagine more trees will be coming down? Because every time I drive through Forest Park, I see all of these trees that have about a quarter of their limbs remaining, and I'm thinking they're not going
to
last.
No, we got the ones that were due to tornado damage removed that were still standing. We got those done.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on the minutes? All right. I need a motion to approve the minutes for our July meeting.
I move that the minutes be approved with corrections.
Second it.
Thank you, Theo. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. So it's approved. Citizen participation, we have none. It's easy for me to say. Let's see. So the department report, I think you wanted to just
all
of this and talk about the new hire.
I included the numbers for the past 2 months, July and August, If anybody has any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, just wanted to talk about two new hires. We have a new tree trimmer who's working out great. Yep, so that's going good. He's been here for a total of 2 weeks, but he's doing great.
And is he full-time, sorry?
Yes, yes, new full-time person.
Plus Al.
Oh,
okay.
Yes. And Darren Girdler is no longer with the city in the director's position. We have an interim director right now, James. I can't think of his last name right now, but he's only been here a couple days.
Is he new to
U City? Yes, I believe he used to work in Maryland Heights.
Are they looking at him as a possible replacement? Or?
No.
Yeah,
He's on a 6 month temporary contract while we look for.
He may or may not be included in the decision.
Probably not. He's a retired person, and you'd have to buy him out. And from what I was told in council, no, he's not even.
All right. The council liaison report.
That's one big thing, is that we did approve that 6 month contract, because last time it was difficult finding somebody for a parks director position, so I think they're foreseeing it to be difficult again. So they wanted to give enough time to do a good search and find somebody that will work. Other important things have come up. Besides, I'll go over the stuff that happened with the county during that minute, because that's my big thing for you guys.
Right.
We did hire a man. So for the flood areas, we have a contract with somebody, and this is very typical when you do the buyouts for the flood areas, to have somebody hired to do all the like real estate negotiations and get the contracts done and get them bought out. So that process for the 2022 flood is finally moving. So that's the Hafner Court Apartments, which is just on the north side of the river from behind the old Royals Bank, where the banks. So there's three big buildings back there. And then I think it's 12 houses on Wilson. 12 more houses on Wilson being bought out.
See, about the Hafners, if I'm not mistaken, I just drove by there and there's a whole rental. They're just renting the things and it seems to be going.
Well, they're not bought out yet. That's why. So they're still in business.
They're still
right
functioning.
So you know they haven't been bought out. Like they haven't accepted technically, I suppose they could not accept a bid, you know, from the buyout. But they're not bought out yet.
So what's the, were it to be bought out, what would the plan be? Will they demolish the area? They will.
Yeah. It'll eventually become green space around there. And you're about to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to, because everybody there was a question in council that didn't get answered this last time, and I actually need to put an email out about this, because I'm like, I don't understand this. So the city won't own the property right away, and I'm not sure how long it takes, but it seems to take a long time for the city to own the property. So I don't know if the federal government owns the property for a period of time. Like, I don't know who owns it after it gets bought out, but there's some kind of delay. So, but there will be green space at some point on, you know, the sides of the river. Potentially, we could plant trees on and do some more kind of. I had a very interesting conversation with my daughter, who works for the Botanical Gardens, about flood mitigation and runoff. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, people just think green space does it, but it doesn't. You need like the right plants, and you need the right topography, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of potential there along there to do new things with that land.
And whereabouts is that again?
So Hafner Court apartments are the ones to, they're really big buildings, and they're right behind Royal Banks. Royal Bank.
Ten Home North and South.
The one on Delmar?
No, the old one that's so been kind of like quote unquote under construction and now not going to be constructed.
It's
like
North
their old
Olive.
Location.
Gotcha.
On Olive.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so they're on the other side of the river from there behind them.
Oh, okay, so it's just on the other side of Olive as well.
So it's on the north side of Olive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wilson is in Ward 2. You know, like it goes from Dollar General around down towards the field hockey field for the high school. So there's houses on there eligible for buyout also.
Still. And they're taking out most
of
the ones
on the... They took out the ones that were right next to the river that first flood.
Right.
Now they're looking at more on the other side too.
You said about 12 more?
I think it's 12. Okay. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And I probably, you know, you can get my facts straight sometimes, but I think it's 12. So anyway, that's the other big kind of piece that's kind of moving forward. Like there's been some movement on in the last couple of weeks.
That's great.
Yeah, because those poor people, the bricks, trust me, the bricks come every meeting and remind us that they're not bought out yet.
Wow.
Every meeting.
What about Mona Terrace? They're a mess, but
that's more so west of the fire station. Yeah, another meeting.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't think there's anything else terribly exciting or significant.
Can I ask a question? This is just came to what I was told to me yesterday. And I live behind Amherst on Stanford. Apparently, Amherst, you know, there's a Amherst in North and South, there's a cemetery there. And there's a big sewage thing right on the corner. And somebody told me that three of the houses on Amherst are about to be bought out by
MSD.
Is that, do you know
that
about
that?
That
may be true. I thought it wasn't there. I thought it was somewhere else. But maybe it is right there.
We saw someone over the weekend at the Green Center who used to work for MSD, lives on Amherst, and said four houses there will be bought out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was something that came across about MSD buying out some homes,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason I thought it was closer to Heeman Park, but maybe it's there.
I'm pretty certain that's the area just because I have a friend that lives there as well.
You guys are probably right.
Yeah, we took a walk there, and the houses are in very nice
condition. The houses
are
fine, and according to this guy, some of them have just been rehabbed.
Yes.
Siblings live next door to one another, so of course they're not happy. Yeah.
Surprise, except it must smell there, but that's something else.
I think there's something going on with MSD doing some more
they're putting
work.
In giant, cavernous, capacious tubes. I don't know what they're putting in, something to move floodwater. Apparently, to help move stormwater.
Yeah.
Interesting. Another one.
Because that little area there on the corner is, it's quite interesting if you've ever looked at it.
Yeah.
Gone down the ladder where it says there are steps.
Well, I have a friend who used to flush his toilet and go running over there to see all the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's enough.
I love that. I know about that corner.
Okay.
All right, and there's not much else going on. We had kind of a quiet, like we only had two meetings in July and, or well, in August and September. So
okay.
It's been kind of quiet.
Okay, we'll move on to unfinished business then. Update on the communication subcommittee.
Okay, I put together a little something. So you have something on paper.
Great.
Well, actually, I did it for Roger, who isn't here.
Well, it is.
There's two in there. And there's an omission. I'll mention it later. A terrible, terrible mistake, I think.
You have one more?
Yeah. Sorry.
I gave mine to.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, so I made just enough? How about that?
Yep.
So we did attend the Green Center, what is that thing called? The Shindig. Summer Shindig event this past weekend, or Thursday, rather. When was it?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. Right. I've been so busy, I don't know what day it is. And it was just a lovely event. It was hot, though. Oh, my gosh, it was hot.
The sprinklers were ahead there.
Yeah. But Theo was very kind and set up a table for us right under this wonderful catalpa next to another large tree, sycamore. And so we were fat and sassy under the shade there. But it was otherwise grueling. There was a wonderful band,
Universal Groove.
Yeah. Oh, they were really great. They played music from all over the world, and they were very pleasant to listen to. Other than that, it was really quiet.
How was attendance?
It wasn't as big as we'd like.
No.
Apparently,
this was the first time they were doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, we did have some folks come in. All the sandwiches were gone and all that. But, yeah, I think the heat did deter a lot of people.
I'm sure.
And Kathy joined me for the first 2 hours, and she just did a phenomenal job. She had this idea. Do you want to tell them the idea and what you did with it, Kathy?
Well, I wanted to keep it really simple. So we asked people either to fill out or tell me, and I would write things down. What do you like about street trees? What do you dislike about street trees? What do you wish you knew about street trees? Basic questions.
How many people did you tell?
I think this is my handful right here.
And they weren't all Usidians, because, you know, they were coming with their kids who probably, some of which attend the Green Center,
like,
but they're not necessarily Usidi residents. However, they were very happy to engage in the conversation.
Yeah, so do you want to hear? I can run this pretty fast. What do you like? Not enough of them. We need more shade. It decreases the electric bill. And someone said they had a good conversation with the forester regarding risk assessment of a corner tree. Mm-hmm. We like the shade, especially in the summer. Good for the birds. I like the shade. I like habitat. I like air cleaning. I like the ambience. I like beautifying the community. I like the shade that trees provide, as well as shelter for wildlife. Great curb appeal. Shade, cleaner air, cooler streets. Cooler when there are trees, because now they started missing some after the tornado. And having a tornado going through leaves scary-looking trees in your neighborhood. I appreciate the shade they provide, the animals they bring to our yard, and the beauty they offer the neighborhood. So I think it's worth noticing. Everybody knows about shade.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's
95
degrees.
Yeah.
It's a shady business we're in.
Yeah. I once heard someone say, well, if you want to go convince people they need more street trees, go out on a summer day when they want
to get some
shade.
When it's hotter than the BGs.
Yeah. So, you know, that's almost a uniform comment. People like the shade.
What I really loved about what Kathy did was that this was a really effective, smooth, way to just engage with people, because it wasn't in any way threatening. It didn't sound like some kind of major survey, and sometimes they just came back and answered them. Some of them pulled up a chair and sat down and just really thought about it and wrote it out, and some didn't want to be bothered, so she just recorded herself, you know, their answers. So there are all kinds of ways that we can do this.
Yeah.
And one conversation led to a very surprising ending. A gentleman who lives in New City, who's been here for a number of years, he said he's moved around. He was in his late 70s, I think, or 80s.
Maybe 80s.
he's moved around and lived in 42 different places in his life, and this is by far the one he's liked the best. And
why?
Well, you needed to come and ask. Anyway,
I'm sorry. So,
you know, my wife.
My guilt.
So he wrote a book, and this may answer it. He wrote a book some time ago about 15 years of change that he has seen during his life in an area, I think, in the Ozarks, but I haven't read it yet. But he does talk about living in the Ozarks at a certain time. The changes he has seen in the country over time. He lived in the country, he moved away, he came back, and then he recorded and ruminated over the many changes he's seen in the environment.
Right. What I got from it is that he's had the passage of time.
Yeah.
So he's seen the changes big time in the environmental world.
It's called Life on Sunnyside Farm. You won't find it in stores, but he's happy to give out copies.
And he lives on
Amherst.
And he lives on
Amherst. He's the one who told me about the houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gave a couple of talks at the Green Center.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Anyway,
interesting.
He was very charming, stayed with us for a while. Okay.
We want to hear about the dislikes.
So what were the dislikes that people...
Oh.
Okay. Replacement trees were not watered by my neighbor. A street tree creates a blind spot and a hazard for my neighbor's porch. Cutting down so damn, and she said, spell that right, D-A-M-N. Cutting down so damn many trees near Millar Park. So there's someone who's... I'm not sure what she's referring to, but some project maybe. She misses those trees. The squirrels. The squirrels are a real problem. What she worries about, the wrong tree in the right place. Improper care. Mulch volcanoes. Shallow watering. I'm sad when the wrong type of tree has been planted or they are not watered. I'm allergic to calorie pear trees. He said Jacob's not planting calorie pear trees. Dislikes, typically non-native species, they're out of place. Wrong tree can destroy the sidewalks. Mess, female ginkgos. somebody lost a car to a large branch. I've experienced a sick tree before that needed help, and I could not get support from the city. Then without being told, they cut the tree down. Okay.
Sorry, before I thought you were done. That's why.
No, well, that's what we don't like. Then there's the what do you wish for? Can we go ahead?
Did
and do
you
get
much with that?
Yeah. What do I wish for? Neighbors without street trees. Neighbors have no street trees. I would like to give her information and encourage her to request a street tree. She wasn't quite sure how to do that, and she'd like a memorial program. Kirkwood has a nice program to plant a tree as a memorial, and it's easy to figure out how to do it. What I wish I knew, how to identify a street tree versus a privately owned tree, how to request assistance when pruning care is needed, how to replace, how often do they get water, etc. How much does it cost to care for them? Which ones where? If it dies, who do we call? No city response, so we planted our own. This actually was from a city resident, not New City. Wish I knew. Actually, I know a lot more since moving to the St. Louis region. Best places for seedlings, for purchase, process of requesting tree lawn trees. City of St. Louis has a request form. Is there an intersection between personal garden choices in tree plantings versus city's plan for tree lawns? How to ID trees. Which tree should be where? Do I get input into new tree being planted? Can I request new trees be planted?
Good questions. I also looked up the how Kirkwood talks about trees, and I was looking for something in particular, but anyway, I came across this. It's a questionnaire that they have that you can fill out online to request a tree be planted, and it requests a full name, full address, phone, email, and there's an acknowledgement they have to say yes or no to. Do you acknowledge that you are in favor of the planting of a public street tree in the right-of-way fronting your property, and that you agree to water and care for it in accordance with the instructions that will be provided to you if approved?
And this is something that they ask for, or that they just mail out to residents?
My impression, there's a submit button.
This
so
is on their website.
It's okay, on their website.
Okay.
And it's, you know, what you... And we have it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I looked. It's there. It's very nice. It's been updated. And it's more prominent than before, I think. Very clear. But these guys actually have a form. You can do it right there and submit it. I just mm-hmm. thought I'd share that with
yeah.
you. Anyway, moving on, can I?
Yeah, yeah, that's all.
I obtained, let's pass that around. I obtained some brochures that we had at our table from Forest Relief and Missouri Department of Conservation. I was lucky, after multiple tries of contacting Forest Relief, I finally made contact with Meredith Perkins, of all people. The executive director picked up the phone, and she was just a delight. So I ended up going there and meeting her, and I told her that I knew about their new program called
Tree Zillions,
thank you. And that we're very interested in doing something along the same lines with our residents, particularly in the Third Ward. And I knew that they had some challenges on the north side with getting people interested in getting trees planted, and wondered if she had any tips for us on how to speak with residents about that. So what she recommended to us primarily was, first, listen. Make sure you really listen to residents first and what they have to say about their thoughts on trees. And then, you know, acknowledge any kind of issues that they have with them, you know, like shortage of time to care or funds or whatever it might be. And then lead with what you city does for them. So like the planting, the pruning, the, you know, the cutting of the dead diseased trees, storm cleanups, etc. Whatever we want to say, I don't have it, you know, these were just things that came off the top of my head. That it's important that they know that you city is ready and willing to do things for them and what we are doing. And then attempt to cultivate champions among the residents of for tree champions among the ward residents. So that's something they work on, and it's not always easy. It takes time. I mentioned this to Tim, and at the stormwater meeting that he attended about the Woods meeting, Woods Project, he thought that some of the people who spoke up there from the Third Ward could very possibly be potential champions, because they did speak very positively about trees and their love for trees and what they consider the value of trees. So we need to brainstorm more about how we want to do that. We need to look for opportunities where we can meet people. One of the things we talked about at our meeting, Linda, Theo, Kathy, and I met on the August 27th to talk about this. One of the things we thought we'd do is see if we can get some door knockers from Jacob also to have more literature. Oh, thank you.
Those are what we put on doors after we plant trees. Just informing people how to water the newly planted trees.
Okay, thank you. We talked about developing a script so that we actually can kind of prepare ourselves a little bit and train ourselves to talk to people. In particular, acknowledging grievances that people have with trees and how we might respond to them. And we hope to enlist your help, Jacob, on that. And Linda thought that we ought to approach school teachers who can be potential tree champions, particularly at the Barbara Jordan and Pershing schools, and approach Dwayne Smotherson and Lacey Clay for recommendations for potential tree champions. And
just
opportunities.
So, just so you know, it's Wayne with a B.
Oh, I don't know why I do that.
Yeah, and then it's Stacy instead of Lacey.
Oh my gosh.
Just to make sure you call them the right
names.
Sorry. It's okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just want to make sure that we got the right names.
Lacey Clay is kind of a famous name.
Yes, it is.
Sorry. Yeah, it's just what came to mind. Sorry.
Wayne's name is a little unusual.
I know Wayne is Wayne. I don't know why
I
wrote that. Thank you.
Problem.
Also, we would like to see forestry, a feature on forestry or trees or care of in every future ROARS issue. So far, there hasn't been anything.
Mm-hmm. And so, do you guys want to come up with that as a subcommittee or just have me do it? Because I have a deadline coming up in about 2 weeks to get into the ROARS. So if you guys wanted to put something together, I'm happy to look it over and approve it. And if we think it's good, send it in. Or I can just put something together.
I think if you'd like to put something together, we're fine with that.
I'm good with that. Are we putting anything in about the drought and water?
That was the last meeting. That was my question is, do you want me to come with something and present it to you, or you want to present something to me? And it was, you wanted to present something to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dear, dear.
You had such an outstanding presentation when we looked at your, whatever the topic was. I don't feel like we can do a better job than you.
Okay.
And it might smooth things out if that is easier.
Okay.
When Donna talked to me on the phone about that, there's one thing that I would encourage you to do. Think, not only think about, but write down and decide exactly what you expect from tree champions. Because when you tell me we need you to be a tree champion, then I go, what am I supposed to do?
Of course.
Right? And so think about what you would expect.
And I don't think that's what we would do. I mean,
no.
Conceptually, we would like people to become what we would call a champion, but we'd be working toward tapping their enthusiasm for trees and for talking to their, you know, residential neighbors and friends in their appropriate, you know, through their relationships.
I do think it's important if you're going to be a tree champion that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
You need to make sure you
agree because we want you to
spread this word specifically and not just like talk about trees, because the next thing you know we'll have some weird thing going on.
That's true. No, that's a good idea. Yeah. We should.
You know, every neighborhood has, or that I know of, has a neighborhood association. But a lot of them have get to, you know, no. yearly things, get together.
That's a good source for them.
So I would think that that was, I know, you know, invite us, invite ourselves to their events and talk about trees.
That's a super idea.
But, you know, we'd have to, I mean, I've tried this before for something else, but get the city.
I want to add one quick thing to Mary Perkins and Forest Relief. The Treezillions program, they are, we hear complaints about how much it costs to have a tree. And so part of their listening program to that is that they sort of are fostering the North City, and they are providing money to prune private trees, to remove private trees, because that is such a huge barrier. So they kind of switched their focus from being, we're just raising trees and getting them out into the world, to we're also willing to shepherd the end-of-life trees, because that just costs more money.
They're becoming custodians of the trees,
yeah.
I think is how
they maintenance, put it. Especially pruning.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't get the
end-of-life. I think it's something to be aware of. I can't imagine that happening anytime soon in New City, but... But I don't know. Maybe grants will be.
But that
out.
Is one of the concerns of Third Ward residents. Sometimes they don't. It costs a lot of money to take a tree down or to prune a tree. So.
Yeah.
And it's not just Third Ward.
It takes a lot of money to maintain the city trees, also. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to be a tree champion. And what I do, I listen to people. People call me and complain about trees all the time. They say too many leaves, too many dead branches. I'm a senior citizen. I can't get it to the curb. I can't pay someone to pick it up. I say, well, U-City picks up dead branches that fall out of trees. U-City prunes trees. But are we pruning trees the way they need to be pruned? The answer is no. We go out to contract. The last contract that we had, I actually tried to pull the contractor off the job because they pruned a dead tree and they did a bunch of bad work. Next thing I got was an email from, I believe, deputy city manager saying that they are allowed to prune those trees, so I don't have any authority to take them off the job. So it's hard to be a tree champion and say this is the right thing to do when I don't get the support to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds all fine and dandy, but that's just my opinion on it.
I think there are expectations. One of the comments about, we called because it needed pruning, but then he didn't do what we asked him to do. So
yeah, and I don't.
You are not that service.
I don't do what people want to do. Mm-hmm. We try to do what's right for the trees. But I don't believe our contractor's doing pruning to specs that I've written out, and I've made that.
The next contract clear. You write in there that something to the effect that you can have some authority over it.
It's in there.
Well, then why do you not have the authority?
I do not know.
You take that contract and you put it in front of whoever's telling you no and say, this is the contract I'm trying to fulfill the contract.
That sounds great when you're...
I'll do it.
I got to pay my bills. I got to work
that,
here.
Lisa, please. I'm tired of this guy complaining that he can't do what he needs to do. Who's holding you up?
What do you want me to say?
Huh?
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, I got to work here.
I know, but it's like every concern we have, it's like here everything's in place and yet it doesn't happen. I don't get this. The sidewalk project was screwed up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I don't expect you to say anything, Jacob, but I mean, this is. I mean, I don't feel like we're running uphill on a muddy slope with this kind of thing.
It seems like a few well-placed phone calls just shifts the power structure.
Yeah. I mean,
get a good, you know, parks person.
We need a parks person that supports him, or yes, he needs to be a director.
Yeah, I like that.
I applied for that position.
Huh?
Mm. I applied for that position and was told I wasn't qualified.
No, I said you need. They need to get somebody in parks that supports you.
Yeah.
And your issues, or we need to get you elevated to a director position on your own, so you don't.
Well, but he said he did apply for it, but he's
no.
Told he
he's talking
he's
about
a forestry director.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We will find
out. Not to
out
be the stick in the mud here, but that's kind of the truth. I mean, it's great. I love Meredith Perkins. Meredith Perkins is an awesome person, has extreme energy, is an advocate for St. Louis region trees, not just forest relief. She's doing so much work other places. It's a lot of times with all this stuff, I know what to do, but my hands feel tied a lot of the time. So I would love to be a tree champion, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
Well,
in my mind, you are a tree champion?
Yeah, for sure. For champion.
You are our tree champion.
All right.
Okay.
We'll get into that another time.
Anyway, everyone who came by at this event at the Green Center, which I wasn't really expecting it to go this way, was delighted to stop at our table and talk, and they enjoyed it. And did you see some of the brochures? Did those
yes.
go get passed around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I assume we can get as many of those as we can.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to have to find out.
Okay.
But they're great
yeah.
brochures, and we wanted to know also if your city has anything.
We had these, the benefits of trees. I can get
okay.
all the stuff from this website. Trees are good. We had those. We had these up at the information table up here
okay.
at Centennial Commons.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I can put them back up there, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Lots going on. That's great.
Well, we try.
New business. We'll start with an update on the meeting with St. Louis County. And Lisa.
So I was able to attend a meeting with, I don't even remember all the people from St. Louis County that was at that meeting. It turns out they had another reason for being there, too. So we got lots of people there. But Lisa Clancy was there, which is one of the county council members for U City. The other one is Rita Herd Days, but I don't think they correspond. I don't think it happened with those two, but Lisa was there and she got all the appropriate people involved. And so just confirm some of the things that you guys already know. The county is currently removing dead or dangerous trees and trimming trees based on complaint only. They are not using an arborist or professional tree trimmer to do the trimming. It is only maintenance crew. They do not plant any curb trees at this time, and they discontinued the program to replace trees on personal property when curb trees are taken down. They also, I guess they've been getting a lot of complaints, but they've been using asphalt ramps for tripping issues on the sidewalks. Some cities complain about that. I just kept that in there, and they want concrete replacement for sidewalks, but that is not what they're doing right now. Let's see. So arrangements can be made with the county where the city does pruning. U City would do pruning, maintenance of sidewalks due to trees, and new tree planting. County will agree to maintain the responsibility of taking down dead trees and clearing down trees. We can put terms into the contract on how to terminate the agreement and make it limited time. They will not reimburse us, though, just so you know, for whatever we do. So the county will not do that. They said if we did something like that, they would want to have an agreement that our appropriate trees are planted for the site and were planted in a way that protected the sidewalks from hazard. part of what they were talking about also, particularly on Delmer, because it was the one I brought up the most, was in the next 15 years, kind of long term, but you know, a tree lasts for a long time, they will need to take up all the sidewalks, just like on Pershing that's happening, take up all the sidewalks, and that would include an 8-inch deep aggregate stone base. And so any trees planted along that street would need to be planted in mind of protecting them from that kind of, you know, if we want them to last, to, in mind to protect the trees from that kind of work.
Is it any problem? Do you see any issue with that?
You would, 15 years, you would have some, if it is in at the end of that time span, 15 years, you are going to make an impact on the trees that are planted unless we do something ahead of time, like put down root barriers, which is a process I've never done. But
what about that other?
Yeah, they're not
soil thing that we.
But are we allowed to? We can't really tell the county how to maintain their sidewalks. Would be the question. I mean, 15 years, you're going to impact some trees, not all of them. It's. You get trees planted, I'd say it's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so I've been waiting to see the draft agreement proposal. It has not, as far as I know, even though this meeting was August 15th, hasn't come through. I did follow up with Ray Golick, who's the county contact. But he had a message come back saying that he was on vacation for like 3 weeks. Like, I mean, I did this at the beginning of September, and I think it's past to this week that he was coming back. So I knew I wasn't going to get anything back. I think what I would say, I mean, I kind of hammered on Delmar because that's one of our premier streets with tree lining, right? Mm-hmm. But we have a number of county streets. And so one of the things I would give back to Jacob and to this committee is that if a proposal was made by the city to the county, what streets you would want included in that proposal, and then I would also come up with a cost estimate to the city on, you know, if we added that kind of planting and maintenance and things like that, like what it would add on the budget. Which I think will be the most important thing for thinking about. So you may not want to do all the county streets because of that. You might want to just focus where you really feel like it'll make the biggest impact. You know, when I talked to the city manager about this again in my meeting at the beginning of September, that was his, like, big, how much is it going to cost thing. So that's the story. So I would say that this committee's next step would be discuss, figure out what streets you want to focus on, and then get a cost estimate on what that would be per year to prune and plant.
Those two right there, the two and three. Okay.
Did you get a sense at all from discussion of why they currently have this policy? It's strictly financial decision.
It's a financial decision. The county runs at a deficit, and I guess this is one of the things that knocked off the list. Mm-hmm.
How do they treat county streets in other villages, in other towns?
There are other towns that do have some of these. I think the wealthier towns probably have these agreements with them. I think that they didn't tell me that completely, but they've obviously done this before.
Okay, that's what it says.
Yeah, it was very obvious from the discussion that they have agreed. Like, I didn't say what other cities do you have agreements with, but it was very obvious they've done this before. They have a whole protocol already for this.
So you didn't meet a blank slate on this one at all. It's just a matter of us asking with the right people in the meeting.
No, and the other part that's why they brought up the sidewalk things, because I think there are some cities that are like, we don't like the asphalt.
They don't have sidewalks. So
there are some places.
There are. We do on Delmar and some other places, but I agree. We need that sidewalk all the way up north and south, and that's a county road. So that's one of my, like,
to the packet.
Apparently, there are. are plans to do something.
Is it after
on there's
north
plans
south?
To put a sidewalk in from Aldi's to the cemetery on north and south.
Right.
Right. Miller Park.
Is this it?
That's the new extension of the sidewalk that we're getting.
So I'll put this on our next meetings.
I would tell you guys, like, somebody probably needs to figure out what streets, I don't know if that's Jacob.
Yeah, I think
what
so.
What streets, you, and then start working on the estimate once everybody agrees on the streets. So maybe the streets first and then the estimate.
Well, this is a big step forward.
What is the estimate for, like,
if you were pruning those trees and you were planting on those streets, like, I would say whatever the same rate you do everywhere else, like, you're not going to, like, all of a sudden repopulate the whole street, right?
Correct.
But if you could kind of think about, like, what percentage, like, maybe think about it, like, this is this percentage of our treescape then, so that would mean we'd need this percentage more in our budget.
Each year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably if we did an agreement, we would make it a limited number of years agreement, because if the county ever has money, they need to take back their responsibility,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if that ever happens, we should have to do this forever. Mm-hmm. So,
well, considering trees, I mean, doesn't make sense to do it for too short a time, because they are trees. So
yeah,
so
I know, but I'm just saying,
years.
like let's say in 5 years the county rights their ship and they've got enough money
to
take care of trees in a better way.
Right.
Then we don't want to be taking care of
then we
money
could
that
return
they
them
be.
To them if they okay.
I mean, that's all a contract, memorandum of understanding kind of thing that we have to, like, build in there.
Well, the only thing I see we can't do an estimate is the maintenance of the sidewalks. That's not our thing, is it?
Yeah, we wouldn't be maintaining sidewalks, would we?
I think we might be.
Okay. But within 15-year time frame, they would want to redo the sidewalks?
They would redo the sidewalks.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it was only maintenance of sidewalks if our trees caused a sidewalk to heave up.
Yeah.
Or if we wanted to replace the heave up with a concrete pad versus doing the asphalt. That was a little unclear to me, but that was part of it.
Yeah, so that'll be a finer point on the...
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on a journey here, probably, to this might take
yeah,
6 months or a year.
Yeah, because obviously, if this is
it.
Something, like, I would say that you want to, like, if you really want to maybe get this done, we might want to, like, have this as a budget proposal, and those things start happening in January, right, from the departments.
Okay.
So that would be the timeline for that. I mean, they don't come to council until, like, May, June, but they start, that whole starting process is more like January.
You think you could give us, like, your first cut on thoughts at our next meeting, so we okay. I'll put that on the agenda then for the streets that you recommend, and maybe the program, like how much, I don't know, plant 10 trees on X streets, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do that and add in what trees would be pruned based on. The way that I always saw this happening was the county take out the hazardous trees that they have right now and then adopt the trees, but that doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
Well, they're still taking responsibility
they
for
removing.
They will
still take out hazardous trees.
So
mm-hmm.
so I would say
but
in the contract we ought to stipulate that we can identify hazardous trees for them to remove.
But
okay.
there is this line, they're not using an arborist or professional tree trimmer to do the trimming, it's only the maintenance crew.
Yeah, you don't want them trimming the trees. It sounds like they hack them up.
So we wouldn't, the cost for removals would not be in my estimate,
no.
is what you're saying.
No,
okay.
Removals, any hazardous or dead or fallen trees, they'll take care of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It would be pruning and planting.
That's good.
Everything you're concerned about, get it out there so we can make sure it's in the contract. We don't want a contract that we'd say, oh, crap.
Oh, well, he would need to review the contract that goes through, and then city council would have to approve
right,
it.
Right, but, I mean, for us, we need to know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a pretty thorough discussion on that then next month or next meeting.
I don't know if we'll have it by then, but we might have a sample by then. The city manager is supposed to get the sample, so I'm not going to necessarily.
But I'm just talking about our part. I'm not worried about that. We'll move ahead with our part.
So got a question. Jacob, I don't know if you have a clue about this, but the new sidewalk, the new standards including an 8-inch deep aggregate stone base with concrete laid on top, is that perhaps supposed to be tree friendlier or just a longer lasting sidewalk?
Yeah, I was wondering about
ADA
that
compliance.
Too.
It's about ADA.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know anything about sidewalks really, other than how to put things in there for trees. I don't know what the difference in an 8-inch aggregate.
Yeah.
It's
so it's an ADA to have a deep stone base.
I think because, you know, I have a friend who's in a wheelchair, right? And so he's motoring around. He rarely uses the sidewalks, so the sidewalks are always heaved in different places. And I think the way they're trying to build sidewalks is that they won't heave.
Okay.
And that way, maybe like a wheelchair
right.
can go all the
right.
way down.
And, so. And we have asphalt ramps.
I know.
Yeah.
In the city.
I know. I get complaints about that.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're terrible?
I think they are.
It seems like they're a stopgap. Well, they're ugly, but
they don't last long. They don't last. So the in my, like I said, I don't know much about concrete, but I know, like I've always talked about structural soil, the 8-inch aggregate, as long as it's a big enough rock that
mm-hmm.
should create some pore space
right.
for the roots to grow through.
Right. And push around a little bit.
Yeah, because the reason they push up a sidewalk is because
yeah.
it's compacted in
yeah.
that top 2 to 3 inches of soil.
Yeah.
So that should actually help trees.
Yeah, I would need to see it, but yeah.
Well, that's what
if there's pore space, then yes, it will help trees.
Yeah.
Pore-based.
Pore-based.
Well, thank you for championing that.
Yes.
This is big.
I just want
to do my job. I got told I had a job.
I got to tell you, I asked Lisa if she would take this on because we were in time. And I said,
a sore point.
I said, don't spend any political capital you don't feel comfortable with. And the next thing I know, she's calling me saying, we're having this meeting. And I'm going, wow. So you're awesome, Lisa.
You are awesome. You are awesome.
Thank you.
Yep. So, very good. Okay. All right. The enclaves at Canton Avenue. So, and my thoughts on this is, of course, that whatever opinion we want to give that we share with the planning committee is based on trees, not other people's problems or issues, but you know what we can talk about at least as the Forestry Commission. I do have a bigger copy of the plan that was given
thank
to
you.
Me.
Right.
But you guys want to gather around it, you can see a lot better what this looks like.
I need some clarification. I mean, I really thought we weren't actually discussing this. I thought we were just discussing the piece of in the bill. You know, it's sort of very dry.
The ordinance.
The ordinance. What Jacob is responsible for.
It's only for what we're discussing, but I wanted you to see this so
okay. We
can talk about it.
I actually tried running an iTree. I mean, I did run it.
Okay.
Kathy thought that it would be good to see all the different characteristics
yeah.
that iTree provides for an area, given the trees on it. And so I did. But I couldn't tell from this picture that, you know, you printed with the packet, what the boundary was on the side of the cemetery. So I kind of guessed.
By these side streets.
I saw the side streets, but I couldn't see this border.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guessed at that, and I accidentally included some of the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
So
You got 15 acres, you said.
I only saw in the final report what the full area size was,
yeah.
which was 15 acres. So I went above and beyond. But it was a nice report. But then, I don't know. I just wasn't sure since I went over the area and Kathy felt we weren't discussing it, so I didn't bring it. I forgot to bring it. But I did run it. I can send it to people once I figure out how to. Remember last time I had a big problem?
Yeah.
So I did it again today. I couldn't remember.
Okay.
Did you make an attempt to look at it?
No. But if I were going to do a canopy survey on this, we're talking about canopy coverage, it's pretty cut and dry. I would say it's 80, 85, 90% canopy coverage.
Yeah.
It's
pretty high.
I mean, just because it's all trees right there and there's just that little bit of grass.
It was at least that, yeah.
So what would this represent? If this was all gone, how much would we lose in canopy for all of U City? Not very much, right?
Yeah, that would be hard to do. I do remember talking about that now. That would be difficult. No. Yeah, it would not be much for the overall U City. For that little spot, it would be significant. Yeah. But
so, you know, there was a lot of discussion that amongst the residents that this absorbed considerable water and, you know, that they would have flooding problems, et cetera. So it's sort of my opinion is we can't tell them how much that keeps them from flooding. I did some research online, talked to Jacob. There are so many factors that go into calculating that you really can't come up with a good number. But
there's scientific estimates. I'm sorry.
But there's a...
The way to figure out whether they're going to have flooding problems is what happens when the trees are gone. So all of this is flat surfaces, and they've got detention ponds in here. So the question is, how much rain can the detention ponds handle, and are you comfortable with that? Because that is the real question, not what the trees are withholding now, because they're already having flooding even with those trees there. So those trees aren't preventing flooding. They're only... Their removal would prevent more flooding,
mm-hmm.
right? And how much more flooding can only be determined if you consider what it would be like when this is all hard surface. And from what I can see looking at this, other than the detention ponds, there's the rest of it's hard surface. I mean, there's not much. There's a lot of density in there. So if you look at this picture... These are the two detention ponds.
Is it detention?
Detention, yes.
Detention.
Detention?
Detention. Or retention.
Yeah,
it says on here detention, so that's why.
Oh, okay.
So these detention ponds are over by Mendel, right? Here's Canton. So in these areas right here, can you see how steep that is?
Mm-hmm.
These lines that are close together. Mm-hmm. So if you drive over there, you'll see that the backyards
go up
pretty quickly mm-hmm. to a fence that's 8 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
This entire area is absolutely overgrown
mm-hmm.
with
honeysuckle
and all manner of
all kinds of
vines and stuff.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it is a giant mess. But what I suggested during the stormwater meeting is that they figure out how much these detention ponds can handle and deal with it from a stormwater perspective, because we can't tell them how much it's mitigating now. It's not mitigating flooding at the current time. So go on.
My experience at Ruth Park Woods, not being anybody trained in this, is that, of course, the trees contain lots of water,
mm-hmm.
depending upon their architecture,
right.
whether the leaves are out, et cetera, et cetera. But over the eons, ravines develop through the forest itself, and
uh-huh.
Ruth Park Woods is essentially a drainage area for the golf course.
Yeah.
So some of this flooding is from some of these ravines, big or small, And I don't know how many people are flooded, if it's like everybody on the street or just a few. I'm just saying it's probably
there,
more complicated.
There's no ravines there. I drove all the way around it.
You didn't go behind
yes, I did.
This fence.
That fence?
Where those houses adjacent to the woods. You didn't? Did you go into the woods?
I can't get in there.
Exactly.
Nobody can get in there.
Oh, I did. About five feet worth.
Oh, okay.
There are internal
ravines.
Get in
there.
Oh, inside here?
Poison ivy.
Inside the woods.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it works at Ruth Park Woods.
Okay.
But
none of the ravines come out of the...
No, not necessarily.
Probably run downhill or run with the topography.
Yeah.
So that,
it's about the topography.
So there's probably detention ponds in there naturally.
Not necessarily.
Mm-mm.
Or maybe just a chance to slow down this water anything. Like,
okay, we can debate all about that. My point is, I don't know that we can do it, that we can help by saying you shouldn't cut these down because it's retaining all this water that is going to, if it's removed, it's going to cause floods. We can't say that.
Well, it's such a combination of issues.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the trees are just, are one of them. And then the fact that they're going to put concrete, you know, and then they're going to have a pickleball court, but we won't talk about that. And then, you know, and the trees, they're putting in a lot of trees, but they're like this big. And it'll take them, you know, certainly my
this big?
Well, they're teeny weeny trees. They're all over.
Well, they're young trees.
They're very
it's
young
be vastly
trees.
Different.
But the point is that there's so many issues. Have we heard from MSD?
We're not dealing with this.
I know, but what I'm thinking is that there's so many issues, including what are they going to do? And I don't, you know, I don't want to cut down those trees until somebody, you know, assures us or assures that this is, you know, that what they're going to put in is not just another concrete jungle, which is, you know.
Again, I mean, whether it happens or it doesn't, if it doesn't happen, there's no issue for our committee. We don't care. Right?
What is our issue, then? I'm confused.
Well,
what is our issue
to
decide?
So, my question. One of them, I think, is that it is that we are not able to tell them whether or not these detention ponds are sufficient. That's up to the Stormwater Commission to figure it out. And we can't tell them how much runoff this prevents. We can't, because we'd have to go into the woods and figure that all that out. And I think that's one thing. If you know, we can say that if we want to, we can ignore it if we want to. The other issue is if they go ahead with the project, then that ordinance needs to be followed, and that's one thing we really want. Is if they cut down these trees, we want to be compensated for it. And that goes into a tree fund, not to any other thing. So that's what you were talking about, Kathy.
Well, just that, I mean, we didn't have many decisions to make in that ordinance, really.
No.
It's tree for tree. Keep as many as you can.
Yeah,
sort of
I didn't
general
see
global
any.
Advice.
Yeah, I didn't see
and
any
then, you know.
There's not a decision to be made, but we need to make sure that it's followed, because it wasn't when they built Costco.
Yes.
So we need to make sure, whatever way we can, Lisa can help with that, I guess, that ordinance is followed. And that at that meeting, the second person that spoke behind me was a former mayor of the city, I believe, who said that they put that ordinance in there to protect trees in University City, and now people are forgetting about the ordinance, apparently, when it comes along. So I have no issue with the ordinance as written. I just want it to be followed. Because I know for sure from Jacob that they didn't talk to him. He had nothing to do with that development at Costco.
Who would be doing a tree survey to the site?
Their contractor.
Their contractor?
Yeah.
Are we putting like a certain value on these trees? Like, what if I'm just thinking,
yes,
now, more so my curiosity asking. So, if they go to the site and they find it's like all tree of heaven,
Yes.
Thus, mm-hmm. I mean, are we still getting mm-hmm. compensated for something like that?
You are, but it'll be an undesirable species. It'll have a lower rating.
Okay, that's why I was wondering if there was like a rating system or...
Somewhere I saw it's something on, from the site survey.
It's on the site survey somewhere. I hadn't seen any of this until, I believe it was Connie Mueller gave it to me.
Okay.
And they do have the tree survey, and they do have the condition ratings, okay. The ratings of all the different trees that are on there. There are a lot of poor condition silver maples, what you would expect to see in an overgrown, unmanaged forest.
But there's a couple of really nice trees today.
Sure. My main question, just for me personally, not having like seen the sites up a biking pass or driving past, just wondering what the hell is on there. What the hell? I would rather, just me speaking personally, rather not see it cut down, because I don't think this is going to help flooding any means. I don't have much faith in a lot of retention ponds and pools and stuff, just with the weather we have. Hell, we get like months worth of rain and hours and stuff like that. So, like, you know, the track record isn't that great for engineering these solutions here, but.
Yeah.
Well, and for that matter, when we have those torrential rains, the forest doesn't retain all of that either. It sloughs off a lot of it.
Right, I mean, I just
if they
get compensated, if we get like in the scenario that this goes for to say, you know, hey, we want these here, we get definitely, you know, just as a person, get the best damn trees we can get, you know, like
The idea is to plant trees in the immediate area of the ones that are removed. So it would be on Mendel, Milan, Wayne.
So
the
streets all around it. Yes.
So the other, so it's sort of a mini forest that would suddenly appears from nowhere because none of us, at least I didn't know it was there, and suddenly, so does that become a city forest? And that if it stays, if we don't cut that all down and concretize it, does that become then your responsibility? Is that
no? It's private property.
It's, yeah, we'll say
private.
We don't have
this. Isn't city property?
No, but
it's
the
property.
So. I understand that one of the reasons that we're looking into, or they're looking, is because of the congregation wants to sell that.
Right. Are they want money.
Very anxious to sell it. And then the other possibility that U City might be able to buy it. They're not going back to get it.
I'm sorry, 15 acres, where's the money coming from?
So that's for sure.
Bake
yeah,
sales.
That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. They're not going to buy 15 acres,
I mean,
unless
this
like
is,
something
you know, I see
incredible
this.
Happens.
I see this
11,
as a real dilemma for the people that have to make this decision.
Yes.
Because that piece of ground is worth nothing. The city can't buy it and make it into a park. It would cost a fortune to make it into a park, even if we got the land for free.
That's a good
I mean,
point.
That is worse.
Then it would have to be maintained.
Yeah.
True.
It'd be
some
another
configuration with the neighbors that are getting flooded.
Yeah.
There'd have to be some.
Yeah,
there
still needs to be mitigation of some sort.
Well, and and all of this stuff and all this flooding, I mean, there was a 2022 flood, right? And the river was plugged up. So what are the issues left now that the river's not plugged up?
I will say this. I did ask that question at my last meeting. Like, what are river levels compared to prior to this? And so... Mm. One thing that we've been noticing since MSD has cleared the tunnel is that some of the places that frequently flood, like, we're not going to see that 2022 flood, right?
Yeah.
Because that was extraordinary. But some of the places that flood more often, we're not seeing them flood. So it made a difference according to that. Like, we're not going to get tested, though, hopefully, for years.
We haven't had rain for...
We had a lot of rain this spring that caused some
in
other
early
flooding
summer.
Problems, like near Lewis Park and places like that. But we didn't have the extent of flooding that we've had in the past along the river.
Yeah, I think
I do think it made a difference.
Well, and that was the big bottleneck. Now, where's the next bottleneck, right? And that kind of thing.
Sure.
Well, I'm just going to say this too. Don't want to put too much into this, but I do think following the ordinance is very important. We need to, like, you guys can be part of the watchdogs on that's followed. The second thing is just remember that we may have new areas when the things are bought out to do the correct planting for flood mitigation and possibly trees also on those.
Okay.
But I think planting
those green spaces.
There's other plantings that actually work better than lawn space and stuff like that help. So that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to carry it too far. But
I think other thing we could do too is that we make sure that one of the things I read recently about these detention ponds is that they work a lot better if you plant the right stuff around them.
Exactly. Yes.
And so and so that would be another thing we could insist upon. So because we do have some say
in
according to that
plan.
Ordinance as to what's planted back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could, you know, they've got their plan, but we still have to approve it. So it sounds to me like we could help, you know, make this as good as it could be if it is built.
And I haven't seen the plan come through on MyGov yet. They haven't actually pulled a permit to do any of this as far as...
Well, they haven't bought the land either. I think what they're trying to do is see if they can get through the approval process, and then if they do, they'll buy the land.
Yeah, and I have no way to approve or add any comments on anything yet.
So the developer hasn't bought the land yet from the owner?
They want to make sure it'll fly.
Yeah.
They did have a long list of trees.
They do. I mean, if you see those numbers,
it's so hard
exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to see.
They
were making
it was
a lot
all
of
blurry.
Yeah. Continuous plantings, maybe in thoughtful ways.
Yeah.
I mean, groups of trees seem to be the new trend for wind. You know, plant your trees in groups, not polka dots.
The teeny
weeny. I don't see it on these.
Here.
It should be in the landscape plan,
but
I didn't print it big enough.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So this has nothing to do with us or to the future of anything, but what do we know about this developer? Is this somebody we can trust that he's going...
It's not up to us.
Yeah, nothing to do with us.
Yeah. So we'll just... I think, like Lisa said, the plan is just we need to watch Doug and stay on top of this one and... make sure that the ordinance gets followed. Is there maybe people we need to talk to on the committee that say, don't forget this? It's maybe a phone call I should make.
I think if you want to talk to Plan Commission and say, remember there's a tree ordinance that they need to follow.
Okay, so I could just make a call to that
person.
Yeah,
that's what I, my best, you know.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
I have a comment if this is a good
sure.
time. So, I didn't go to the meeting that you two went to, and I got back filtered through the community. Well, they said actually the trees didn't really make any difference, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not sure that was at all their intention. So I wrote Meredith Perkins, our favorite community person, because I worked for her in the past, and she suggested, I kind of told her what the problem was, and I was interested in any kind of estimate. I understood that iTree could give us some kind of an estimate. So she suggested which program to use, and I cannot do it. It's beyond me and Donna.
The one that you sent?
No, that's my tree. That's
my tree, not
yeah.
I tree. Okay, because
yeah.
that was...
Well, yeah,
I did it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't send it to you.
Right.
But I'll figure out
right.
how to do that.
But it does
And I can
some
try to redo it with 14
yeah.
guests.
Yeah. It's a huge...
Acres, I mean.
It's a huge variation in the numbers. But still, I think it's not just about this project, but it's about the message we send to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Trees do
mm-hmm.
a lot for rain and floods, and we should just pound that home whenever we could.
Well, okay, that makes sense. But
in the absorbed carbon dioxide,
which is we're
it's
yes,
not just about the water.
But every one of those points was brought up by all of those residents to the Stormwater Commission, and the Stormwater Commission said, "But guys, we don't approve anything. We just provide information to the council." And so as far as that goes, I mean, the council has got plenty of information about the value of trees. and we're not diminishing that. All I'm saying is,
you know, none of this has gone to council at all yet.
Pardon?
We haven't seen anything yet, so you know. Like, this is all still down.
Yeah, this is still in the planning commission, so.
Is there any interest at all before suddenly we wake up one morning and the trees are all gone and the concrete's poured, to sit down, can we have a general meeting? Because right now we're just trees, and they're just stormwater. And there's, you know, can we meet? Can we get together? Or
it's
do
called the
we
planning
want?
Commission.
Huh?
Planning commission is the one that where the kumbaya's got to be said. I mean, that's the only place that's going to have any impact on this, other than to the council after
the
committee.
They'll make a recommendation to council.
Huh?
The planning commission will make a recommendation to council.
Right. So the planning commission makes a recommendation to council, then so there's that, then there's the council, then there's the contracts, then we can come in and talk about how to mitigate the, how to deal with the trees there. But that's pretty much all we can do. I mean, everybody already knows that forest is catching water. How much it's catching and what it's keeping from going down versus when it's built, I don't know.
Has anybody talked about impervious surfaces within the development, or where that's not come up at all?
Well, that's what I suggested to at the meeting. I suggested to the Storm Commission.
Stormwater, okay.
Stormwater Commission, that they calculate these impervious surfaces and figure out whether these detention ponds are sufficient.
Yeah.
I think the answer is always going to have to be how much rain you're talking about, right? Because you've got to, there is a point when anything's going to flood if it's downhill.
Yeah.
and so the detention ponds may be able to handle 5 inches of rain in one day, but not 5 inches of rain in 1 hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they gotta, I think they need to have a rating on that. I think that's one thing we should look for, maybe, is, you know.
I would trust the Stormwater Commission to give good recommendations. They are like, UCity is very like lucky to have some incredible engineers on the commission.
I thought they did, the people they
so
needed.
They'll do that part and give that back to. They're just going to give their recommendations to Planning Commission. Planning Commission is the, the approve or not approve. They're the voting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and then they make, but they only make recommendations to City Council.
Planning Commission will, I mean, Stormwater
they don't
Commission can, but it's not. There's a development. That's not their purview. They don't.
But still, it's up to City Council. Planning
in
Commission makes a recommendation.
In the end, final. Yeah.
So that's Eric Karch, right?
Well, he's Stormwater.
He's on Stormwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good.
I mean, there's going to be plenty of people making noise about this.
Yeah.
This isn't, we just need to make sure that from the forestry point of view that the right things are done.
And that we make noise also.
That the right things are done.
About the trees.
Assuming, I mean, with the assumed progression of this.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will make myself a note to contact the Planning Commission and point out that ordinance. I did mention it at the Stormwater, but not Planning Commission. Any other steps we need to take at this point? It sounds like there aren't. Skip the Arbor Day and come back to that real quick. We'll run it a little bit low on time, but I'm just going to tell you that I put a document, a two-page document in here, I think. Where is it?
In the back.
In the back, yes, thank you. In the back. a one page with two sides to it. So I, from all of the, from the UCity website, I found our basically what describes the mission of each of these commissions, ours first and then stormwater, green practices, land clearance and redevelopment, park commission and plan commission. And so I just wrote in bold what I thought the UCF, the Urban Forestry Commission, could do with in conjunction with those commissions. So like stormwater, I just said we could coordinate plant trees in stormwater areas that help mitigate flooding, and Lisa's referred to that today. And then the with green practices, this is kind of a win for us. Remember we were going to talk about heat islands?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it actually says in there that they're supposed to identify heat islands. In there, so basically, we can work with them to plant trees in the places that they identify as heat islands. So, kind of took a little thing off of our plate. And then,
well, this is very good. Thank you.
Yeah, and the redevelopment and others. So, guys, take a look at this. We'll bring it up again next month. See if there's anything else. And then we'll just kind of have this document handy so we can figure out when the right time is to strike on something. Okay, so Arbor Day planning, let's take about 10 minutes just to kick around, brainstorm some ideas, and I do mean brainstorm, so anything you want to throw out there. I did, the first thing I'll say is I want to make it bigger than we've been doing, because we've just sort of been waving the flag and saying, here's a couple trees. what about stormwater areas? Is that something we could do that?
Yes.
What do you mean by stormwater?
So,
you mean the flooding?
Yeah, the areas where they say this is going to be, you know, there's not going to be anything built here. So we could start doing some planting
in an area where we want the tree to mitigate storm issues.
Actually, that's heretofore we've always done schools, and we've always used kids. We've gone to the green center and all that stuff. This would be completely different, and that I think that's interesting. Yeah,
it would require some different logistics to move kids from point A to point B.
What other things? I mean, just
Wilson Avenue is right next to the high school in Jackson.
Yeah.
Think about that.
What was that one?
Wilson Avenue is right next to the high school. Like, it's right
yeah, right
there.
Down the street. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jackson Park. So you've got Jackson Park and UCity High School near Wilson.
Okay.
Now, is that where Connie, like, planted a whole bunch of trees? I don't know if she got a permit to do it.
Connie.
She might have. She might have done, like, a little forest on one of those lots. I don't know. Somebody was talking about it.
Jessa did it in a private property which sort of abuts Wilson beyond going east.
I'm pretty sure along the riverway all those are clear. Like there's land along. I still don't know who owns that property right at the moment, so that would be something to evaluate before you decide to plant.
I was told the Army Corps of Engineers is still.
Huh?
Well,
the Army Corps of Engineers is still working with it, but this goes back a while.
It might be them that owns it right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Any other thoughts on
expanding?
I think
that if some heat island areas are identified, we ought to consider that.
I think you should talk to Green Practices, because I think they did some work already on that.
I'm betting.
I think they have a report on it.
Connie would love to talk about it.
Yeah.
Does somebody have a good connection with Green Practice?
Mm-hmm. We all.
Well, yeah, if you guys
Connie Miller.
If you can find the heat islands.
I'll ask.
Or get see if she has that information. That'd be
if
great.
We can get that report. There's a report.
Yeah. Because I'd like this to be more than ceremonial.
Yes,
know?
Yes.
I want it to mean something. And I'm wondering, too, like in these storm mitigation areas, if we're planning, and I'm just saying, like, you know, what is that tree that grows real fast? And
cottonwood.
Huh?
Cottonwood?
Not cottonwood. They're like a
tulip tree?
Dang
Redbud?
They're evergreen, I think.
Oh, oh, cypress.
Bald cypress. I mean, you can get those things in just like little sticks and put hundreds of them in the ground. And, you know,
yeah.
So that would be something that, that we could actually do without, where people could, you know, little people could do that work too.
With the little, tiny little trees.
Yeah.
I suppose.
I mean.
Yeah.
What do you think about that kind of a planting event?
That's fine as long as it's an area that we don't mow. You don't have our contractors mow, because they'll just mow right over them.
Yes, they will.
And they're mowing Wilson, aren't they?
That's why I was
yeah, we mow. We mow Wilson.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I was a little hesitant when you mentioned smaller trees. Like,
that's the problem with that. It's just 3-gallon trees from Forest Relief, which we could get for free, is doable, but
they get mowed over.
They're right on the edge of some will and some won't.
We have to stake them.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we did that in one of those parks where I was watering. Somebody mowed over something eventually.
My dog decided that my twig was his stick.
Yeah.
So my witch hazel is now a little slow, but it did grow another little leaf. There might be hope.
You know, and my daughter brought a stick home like this one time. We planted that thing, and it was like 6 feet high in a few years.
Until
my neighbor didn't like it, and he killed it.
Yeah.
And I thought about killing him, but I'm still here. I didn't go to prison.
So are we thinking for this event,
what else?
It would happen like Arbor Day.
Next spring.
Next spring. We're walking like a, or there's a class, high school students, elementary school students. We have a tree there. We're having a whole pre-dig, or we're having them like dig it, kind of like.
I've always kind of, for the most part, pre-dug the hole.
Okay.
But if you want to do bigger tree or more trees, I mean, if the thing is, if you plant a whole bunch of small trees, even if some get mowed over, some are going to survive. Mm-hmm. So
it's a numbers game.
Yeah, just figure out kind of what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, we could put chicken wire around for a while to help.
Yeah.
You have a little arbor with a whole bunch of trees, maybe. I can see it now.
I know we do have some bald cypress planted in Wilson, where a house used to be, and it's just kind of its own detention pond, I guess. It just kind of worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we could plant more trees there. We could always use more trees there.
Any other ideas, folks? I'm just jotting them down.
Well, it sounds like you've got
I like the heat island idea. I think that's a really neat idea. That could work with the education aspect to educate people about why we're planting trees.
Yeah. Right. We could kind of alternate those two things.
And you could even plant them as street trees, and that would work towards the vacant sites, replanting vacant sites, because I'm sure that if they did a study on heat islands, it's going to correlate with what we have vacant sites in.
Yes.
That and concrete.
And
streets, which
sidewalks.
Yeah.
And all of this probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got a couple of good ideas. So we'll start fleshing those out more at the next meeting then, and kind of decide what we want to do. So be thinking about that. Let's see. Lost my agenda. Where'd it go? On the other side of this paper.
So you're going to write something up for?
For what?
For Roars? Or what?
Yes, I'll write something up for.
You said you have a 2-week deadline.
That's for Roars.
So, any ad hoc comments from the commission? I have one. Go ahead.
Well, I already mentioned my tree in. I first learned about my tree when I took a tree keeper's course, which was sponsored by Forest Relief and Missouri Department of Conservation. And sort of the message, you know, first of all, you needed adequate computer skills, and I just kind of shrunk down in my seat. But nevertheless, people do, some people do. And I even managed to do the first iTree program. There are many programs now. There's, I don't know, 20 or 30. I don't know, many, many programs. So they're getting much more sophisticated to make, essentially, the notion is we need some data for what are the benefits of trees. We can't just shrug our shoulders. Sometimes we just have to give estimates. So this is for my sycamore in my front yard, just to give you an example of the information that they give. And then I took the same tree. The first one is single-leader sycamore for over 20 years. What are the benefits for 20 years? For this 1 year, here are the estimated benefits. And then I imagined a 6-inch diameter sycamore just to compare the size, young tree, old tree, just to get a clue. None of this is going to be too astounding, because if we think about trees at all, we know some of this. But it's interesting to look at it, so I'll pass it out.
Okay.
And then there is something else, which is called a fact sheet, control stormwater runoff with trees. And, of course, it's not straightforward. It's not simple, as we already know. So intensity and duration of the rainfall event, big deal. We know that, big time. So it goes through a lot of the problems with how variations happen with stormwater runoff of trees. So I'll pass this out. So there are a couple of easy reads tonight or sometime. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jane Zenny, her husband came to me before the meeting, and she and her husband are moving out of U City to Clayton almost immediately. So we need a new person to replace her. I don't know what the process
is. You need to let the city clerk know, and she'll know what to do next.
Okay, I'll call her then.
Yeah, because I don't know who appointed her to start with.
Lorie, yeah.
Well, she was a recommendation from Diane Benjamin, who used to be on the commission.
Well, I meant, so city council appoints the commission members, and I don't know whose turn it would be.
Oh, gotcha. If
it's a reappointment, like if any of you all need to be reappointed, I do it.
Mm. I see.
But I only have a certain number of one or two on each commission that I appoint myself. So
she
knows everything.
There's
this
a whole process because we try to do some things on that.
She knows the whole process.
And the other thing is that I'm going to present the same thing I presented to city council at the Green Center on October 21st.
Oh, cool.
For one of their programs.
Good.
Say again. I'm sorry.
I'm presenting the same presentation to at the Green Center event.
That's great.
Oh.
On the 21st at the Green Center.
Nice.
How's the
21st
baby?
Of October.
He's good.
Great.
And then the last thing is a commissioner of summary of technical aspects of forestry learning, so I see that you've done some work. I also took Illinois class, online class, and learned a lot about planting trees, and I can now spot a tree that was planted improperly by the roots, and that's so they are, that kind of stuff. So I don't know if anybody else is doing that kind of stuff yet.
That was the Illinois Extension?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a good program.
It's a very good program, and a lot of that stuff is online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started doing that as well. I did 2 sessions, I think, with Kathy, and since I saw it was online, I said, oh, well, I'll do it on my own, but I didn't. But I have, I have access to it, so I can still go to it. But I did do the Forest Relief Program at Powder Valley.
Oh.
I missed 1 session. I couldn't attend.
The tree keepers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Nice.
Yeah. I did the whole thing except 1 session.
We're up in our game, huh?
Yeah.
Did you pass those records?
I think they're coming.
Oh, making the way around?
Somewhere.
Right, here's the stormwater one.
I think it was the tree diseases that I missed.
These diseases?
The tree diseases.
No, there's
I did remember something that should have added.
Oh, what was that?
Mm-hmm. So, Pershing, the contractor, was selected, and it was sent to MoDOT, and so I'm pretty sure MoDOT has approved it by now, because it was supposed to happen within 2 to 4 weeks of us getting it. So then the contractor just needs to like have some start dates. So it's supposed to be moving.
Good.
We'll see. I'm not holding my breath, but we are further in the process.
Yeah.
So.
What about Ferguson?
Kind of,
What about Ferguson?
I don't know what's happening at Ferguson. I have not heard anything at Ferguson. I thought they were further on the I haven't approved anything.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. So our next meeting is November the 12th. So we're going to be looking at, you know, approving a Arbor Day plan if we can. And then we're going to discuss any format changes we want to the KPIs. Roger and I are going to look at that. And then we'll be back about the just taking a quick look at the document that I gave you guys on cross-committee commission synergies. And also, if that point, if you can come back with Heat Island info from Green, that would be awesome, Linda.
Check that out.
And then the next meeting, we'll be seeing what Jacob's thoughts are on the county roads. What roads and what plan do you think would work? I did one thing that we were supposed to have tonight and we didn't get because we don't have a parks person anymore, is we were supposed to get information about the budget.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds, I mean, some of the comments you've made, there's not enough money in the budget to do the planting that we have in the plan.
Correct, for the vacant sites.
Yeah.
Yes, there's not enough money. Where the most of the money's at would be that Pershing and Ferguson project, but that's just kind of an outlier in my normal budget.
Right. But, I mean, in the plan that you presented and how many trees you plan to plant, there's not enough money in the budget to do that. Is that
correct?
Okay. So that's an issue that we need to elevate as time goes on and make sure that we just don't keep falling behind and say nothing. I'm not sure exactly how we address that, but
I we're asked to start working on the budget in October is when we're asked to start working on it and then to give it up the line. All I can do is ask for the amount of money that I think we need
to support
to
the
plan. Yeah.
Good.
And then we need people to plant those trees too, but that's a different story, which I asked for in the budget also.
Well, the budget should include not just the trees, but the cost to plant them, right?
We plant them in-house.
Okay. So you could do the planting if you could afford the trees?
We can, yes. I mean, we're going to, yes.
Okay. So the constraint is only the budget to buy the trees?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless there are big storms and we
have
to go over days.
Right.
Yeah,
that's just kind of the nature of anything, though. I mean, stuff pops up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Then
I think eventually we could have some sort of a system where you could contribute money to the city for buying trees, you know, as a donation. Certainly in the name of somebody
we've talked about.
Todd Strebhart, the deputy director of Parks, Rec, and Forestry, is supposed to be working on a memorial tree program. And I thought it was supposed to be done this fall, but I haven't seen anything about it yet.
What's that?
He's supposed to do a tree memorial program where people can pay this amount of money and the city will plant a tree in memory of someone.
Oh, I see.
One way.
And then that money would be at, say, so they would pay, say, $500 to have a tree planted. It only costs us $200 to get the tree. We plant the tree. The rest of that money goes into the bank to maintain that tree. But I haven't seen anything about that. I guess he's still working on that.
Well, it sounds to me like in the long run, putting everything together, watering truck, the tree,
purchase
more people but mostly just more budget for tree planting in general. That's a shortage. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to keep that in mind as we look at our KPIs, what those issues are, and keep reporting them.
Right. Yeah. It's nice to have.
Okay. I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Second.
I move, not I motion.
All in favor of 45 and be...